Amen. When He is our Lord, that means whatever He says, we do. And how many of us can confess this morning, if we listen more to what He said to do, we'd be a lot better off. Amen. We all can say that. How many people here today are listening more to Him today than He did last year?
Hallelujah.
Amen. We kind of got tired of going around that mountain, did we not? Amen. That's what He wants us to do. You know the devil's a liar. You know that. And as a born-again Christian, who lives in you? The Lord. Amen. Who guides you? The Holy Spirit. Yeah, He's very powerful. You know, many of you recall that several of us in here went to school together back in the day. And of course, me and Kenny, we went to school together, didn't we, Kenny? Normally, when they think about you and me, they all remember the streaking. You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of stuff. It'd be like, you know, I remember one time, I don't know why the guy didn't like me too well, but he come to me and told me he's going to thump on me. As soon as I come outside of that door, he's going to thump on me. Well, me and Kenny are standing there. I thought, okay. Well, I can't fight. My boots on. They're too heavy. So I started taking my boots off. And if you remember back, at this time is Bruce Lee is really famous. The song, Everybody Was Kung Fu Fighting. Okay, you remember that one? What's the other one? One Tin Soldier Walks Away. What was that guy's name? Billy Jack, okay? And so Kenny went out and said, listen, Stark could be out, but he fights with his... He can't fight with boots on, they're too heavy. He fights with his feet. And they start thinking about that, you know. And they get this vision of, you know, Kung Fu fighting and all this kind of stuff, you know. So the guy decides, okay, I'm going home. And, okay, I put my boots back on. And then next thing you know, in school, I mean, everyone said, don't mess with Starkey because he fights with his feet. And we all know how that is. I mean, it's, I mean, I took judo for years over the department. And so I went through my entire school year not having no one else. I mean, the dumbest thing you can do is tell somebody you're going to thump on them, you know? Give them a warning. But because he gave me that warning, Kenny was able to warn the guy, hey, listen, he fights with his feet. And so that was really awesome. And here I am 50 years later, and you think back, you talk to some people, they still say, hey, no one ever fought Starkey because, well, he fights with his feet, okay? And sometimes we get a hold of something like that today, and it scares you. But if that fella would have waited a little bit longer, when Kenny went out and said, listen, don't mess with Starkey, he fights with his feet. You got to take his boots off because the boots are too heavy. He would saw how I fight with my feet. I run! You know, my boots are too heavy, I can't run. If you're raised on a farm or in the country, your boots are heavy, I can't run with boots on, okay? Now, Kenny wasn't really lying when he said, hey, you got to take his boots off, they're too heavy. He bites into his feet, okay? He was telling the truth, okay? But they didn't want to hang around it when all this stuff in their head was all mine. Kung Fu, you know, and all that kind of stuff, you know? Man. Go ahead, I'll tell you before you hit my face. I'll put this foot. I'm going to put it on that side of your face. So all the things around me in that daytime, it gave people fear of me. Don't mess with Starkey. Now, I might have stretched this just a little bit, okay? But the point is showing you we can do the same thing with the devil. Amen? He's a liar. He's a thief. He has no power except for the power we give him as Christians. In our mind, we even think about the devil. We see a horrendous thing and this powerful thing, and it neutralizes you. You get so scared of it. You get so scared of him that, I don't know what to do. Have you ever seen Jesus be defeated? No. Who lives in you? Christ. We can get so paranoid of the devil that we forget who we are in Christ Jesus. And that devil runs our life because we don't recognize who we are. I mean, I'm telling you, that guy's okay. He can take his shirt off too. Bring him out here. I'm out that back door so fast, run across the street, come back over Ryan's house is today. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't call my bluff. Didn't call my bluff. He is Lord. You just sang, He is Lord. That's where our strength comes from. So the devil comes like a roaring lion, trying to find out who he can devour. He comes like, he didn't say he was, okay? There's only one lion you got to be fearful of, and that's the lion of the tribe of Judah. His name is Jesus. Amen? But he comes, Satan comes with his big mouth, trying to scare you. Now, I can imagine, I've never been in a jungle before, but if I was walking in the jungle and all of a sudden I heard, "Rawr!" It would probably scare me. Because probably I'd be walking around just kind of enjoying the scenery. You see the monkeys up there? The banana tree, you know? And all of a sudden, "Rawr!" It made me fall back. Whew. Forgetting I've got an elephant gun strapped around my shoulders, okay? Our lives can be the same way, man. I mean, it's like there's nothing going wrong with us. It's an awesome day. Your life has gone on perfect. And all of a sudden, "Rawr!" The devil raises his head. You weren't expecting it. It can knock us back a little bit. Wow. But wait. Who am I? I'm a child of God. Woo! I got the name of Jesus. Name above all names. I'm covered by the blood. I got His Word. All this. And we share, we stopped last week, we were talking about Christ in you. What did Jesus do from the very beginning of His ministry? Think about that a second. Do you remember the first thing He did when He stepped into ministry? He was 30 years old and He stepped into ministry. He prayed and fasted. Remember, up to that period of time, we don't see any temptations coming against Jesus. We don't see, he didn't do any miracles. But man, when he stepped up 30 years old, he was baptized. He was covered by the Holy Spirit, received the Holy Spirit. The war started. The war that he came to finish. Amen? So he went out and prepared for that war by fasting for 40 days. And 40 nights. And then the scripture that I'm going to share them from Matthew 4, verse 1 to 17. We shared just last week, kind of like doing a recap. But sometimes we don't remember everything, so I just kind of bring it back up to try to encourage you. When we say, "Greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world," that's a declaration. He truly is. And when Jesus says, "Things that I have done, you'll do also even greater things." It's Him living us, us being baptized with the Holy Spirit, so we would do the same that He did. But He was led out by the Spirit to pray and fast for 40 days. And the next thing you'll see there, that who showed up? The devil came to tempt Jesus. He was trying to buy Jesus off. See, Jesus never had any problems. I mean, he's still, as a youngster, he's in a synagogue. He'd be reading all the Torah. He'd be reading to people. And I shared this last week, if you remember. When Jesus was baptized and He raised up, the Holy Spirit came upon Him like a dove and landed on Him. And I heard in heaven the Father say, "This is My Son, who I'm well pleased." And at that moment, the same Spirit, the spoken word, is what cast Satan out of heaven. That same spirit, the same, is now on earth. It's like, boom, like a wake-up call. I can see Satan say, oh man, what was that? Something's going on. Well, there's a master out there praying and fasting. Why? Because he came for one reason, and that was to deliver you and me from our sins. To pay that debt. To restore us to Heavenly Father. That was his focus. It wasn't about him at all anymore. It wasn't about him being in the heavenly. It wasn't about all the angels that tend him. I mean, you talk about being a king of kings. He had it all. Had it all. And he laid it all aside to come down here to rescue you. Rescue me. See how important you are in the eyes of God? Again, when somebody says, well, you're not worth it. You're worthless. No, you're not. God himself came down in flesh and blood to rescue you and me from our sins in order to restore us to the Heavenly Father. That's what he came for. Now, the question is, do we want restoration? You know, do we want to be restored to the Heavenly Father? And I think once we learn the Scriptures and we see things, we want to, right? Amen. He didn't come just to save half of me. Nah, he don't want all of you, Starkey. I mean, if you walked into the butcher shop and took in one of Chuck Meyer's beef, okay, to get it butchered, and they're going to charge you for it, but only give you half of it back to you, what would you say? Hey, where's the beef? Okay, I had that coming. Hey, I paid for the whole beef. Where's it at? You demand. I want the whole cow. I pay the same price. I want it all, right? Amen. The master, same with us. I paid the price for all of you. I want it all. And the awesome thing is, it's for our benefit. Amen. Amen. He's within us. And Satan come to him. And you see the scripture that he started speaking scripture back to the Lord. So Satan knows the scripture, right? And the Lord counteracted with him. Because he knew it too. He didn't get his eyes off of the focus what he came for. Hey, wealth can be a great distraction, right? Wealth can be a blessing. But Satan tried to use wealth to buy you to the hands of God. Yes. Popularity. Anybody popular in school? I was. I thought my feet. Everybody knew. No. In detention. In detention? Well, at least you was popular. Okay. But see, he'll use these tools because the world will tell you what's important. You know? Isn't it sad? No, I think we all got sucked into one another. But you know, you got to look this way. How many diet plans are there on television? Oh, my lands. I get so nervous watching them, I keep eating. No. What type of clothing you got to wear? I mean, 5 minutes of commercials to watch 8 minutes of a sitcom. If you can find one. That's even Andy Griffith. And some of the commercials they have on Andy Griffith. I mean, Andy had no control over it now. But, boom, you can't sit there for your grandkids and watch them. Always trying to convince you, Jeff, that you got to be like this to be anybody. You got to find your self-worth in clothing or houses or cars or money in the bank. And now, all that stuff, I'm not speaking against it, okay? But the devil tried to tell you that that's where your self-worth is. If you're here today, you don't have a penny in your pocket, that you're worthless. I'll tell you what, I got a mansion.
I got a dollar.
I got a mansion, I'm telling you. Well, I'm just not there yet, you know? Jesus got along fine on this earth. Then what did God call him to do? For us. All the devil try to get distracted. And we can't allow that. Amen? Okay, recognize who is he? Who is inside it? Prayer and fasting. How many people love to fast and pray? How many people are liars? (laughs) But the key, as we were saying earlier, the struggle that some of us have gone through, we all go through struggles. You have something that really occurs with you over and over again, you just can't get breakthrough. Your key is prayer and fasting. How can that be? Because God created it that way. And the scripture I want to share with you one here is Matthew 5:6. Matthew 5:6. But Matthew 5:6, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." And we look at that, we think, yes, I really want that. I want righteousness. I want this world to turn around. And boy, I really want it real bad. You kind of go in the restaurant and you're sitting there and you order your favorite meal. Boy, you just can't wait for it to come, right? Oh, you want it to come. We think the same way here. But if we slow down and read this again, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Ever been hungry before? Why were you hungry? Because you hadn't ate, had you? Amen. And thirst. I believe it's shown us one of the keys is hunger and thirst, sacrificing our pleasures, our food pleasures, for God, for His Word, for our world. As we restrict the physical, it strengthens our spiritual. You trying to get an answer from God? Are you trying to figure something out? Fast. Fast and pray. God, you hear God's voice. He's talking to you. But sometimes things around you are too noisy. Through fasting and prayer. And again, that's one of the most important walks that we can take to be more like Jesus. Who wants to overcome the tempter when he comes? Prayer and fasting. How do you know that, Pastor? Look at Jesus. I'm nobody. Look what Jesus do. Did he not come for us to be like him? To manifest himself in us? I know what we want to do is grow our hair long, wear sandals, and I look like Jesus. You ever watch somebody walk down the street and think, you put a sheet on him, it looks just like Jesus walking. But it's on the inside. It's on the inside. Prayer and fasting. You want a country to change. To intercede, prayer and fasting. You want your kids to change. Grandkids, you want to intercede for them. Prayer and fasting. Jesus did. I mean, he's God, but he's in physical form. He was just like you and I. What Jesus went through is available for us. You think, well, he did that because he's the Son of God. No, he did that because he received, he agreed to do what God called him to do. But when he functioned upon this earth, we have to understand, he did not function as God. And that's kind of hard for us to get around our head. He surrendered all in heaven. He had a body just like we have. He would have temptations just like we have. But he never, ever sinned. How did he accomplish what he accomplished? The Holy Spirit. In prayer and fasting. And sometimes we all get in habit, man. Your life just going, pfft. Are you getting nervous? What do you grab? A potato chip bowl? Popcorn, extra butter? Shopping? I get no amens on shopping? Okay. What's that? I'm the Royal King Master. And soon to be Ollie's, okay? But what we do, we turn to try to suppress what's going on inside of us, right? And instead of trying to suppress it, we should turn to have be delivered from it. And through prayer and fasting. I'm trying to get it crossed more and more. I put it this way. Do you really want something? We would say in modern day language, put your money where your mouth is. You can't get over something? Okay. You really want to? Okay. How much prayer and fasting have you done? Okay. Then you don't want it. I'm just talking to you. I'm not talking to you, Nancy. I'm not picking on you. But see, what happens, we don't understand. Who understands prayer and fasting? A few people might understand, okay? But for some of us, it's like, okay, I don't know how it works, but it does. Well, that's the key to the church. When you got God, I mean, blood of Christ, what I'm saying, that the Holy Spirit is the power that the church has been lacking. I mean, isn't it true on Sundays? I mean, at noon, watch out for all the restaurants. We're going to be packed, every one of them. Okay. No problem eating on Sundays. Because we like to eat. But Monday and Tuesday, fasting. Amen? Or Wednesday or Thursday. But can you imagine, hey, what are you guys doing tomorrow night? Jeff, Gail, what are you doing, man? When we come out home, we're going to fast. No one ever has a fast party, do they? You ask Kenny, that'd be my party. Gone so tight, I wouldn't buy steaks. I know. But man, we're going to be awesome. You know, like last week I said, hey, Wednesday, I'm going to be fasting and praying. If you got something you want me to fast or pray for, let me know. Because, hey, I'm going to be in the Spirit. I'm going to be praying, you know, so let me intercede with you, you know. That's kind of like a party type deal. But to change ourselves. Think about what is there that, man, you just, you can't stand it about yourself. You just keep trying to change it. The Lord can change us. Amen. Oh, I want to be set free from that stinking thinking we caught. Okay, prayer and fasting, it'll break that bond. What are you going to do this year? What's your goals for this year? What did God want you to do this year? Prayer and fasting. It set you free. But again, in fasting, well, I mean, this is going on for a couple of weeks, so I want you to get in your spirit. I want to get into your life so much. That'll be one of the first things you think of. Oh, I'm going to fast about it. See what God says. Hey, what do you think I should do? Okay, have you prayed and fasted? What God show you? Scriptures will come alive to you more. Understanding God more. Through prayer and fasting. Man, strengthen Him. It's kind of like a greater, you enhance the communication system you have of God. You know? If you're not going from a $5 cell phone to a $150 cell phone, you get better connection that way. You don't lose conversations as much, you know? But how much do we want of God? How much of the Lord do we want to understand through prayer and fasting? And Joel chapter 2. Again, no matter where you're at today, you might be far away from God today. Maybe you walked with the Master and you turned away, but you find yourself in church this morning. Joel, what he has documented here, shows us our Father's heart. He shows us that, man, He cares for us. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting, weeping, and mourning," repentance, what he's saying, "and rend your heart and not your garments, Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. And that's our God. I mean, I love it. Return to me with part of your heart, with all your heart. And you think at times, well, God won't take me back. He's telling you right there, come back to me. All your heart. He sees our heart. And again, there's a difference between sorry and being repentant. Amen? Yeah. I can be sorry that I get my wife upset and I don't get my chocolate cake at supper time, okay? But if I do the same thing the next night and next night and next night, being sorry isn't going to cut it, is it? She wants me to quit doing that. I mean, that's what God wants to do. That when we get separated from God in our walk, again, He doesn't leave us, but we leave Him. That we get separated, we get down and out, and we start thinking in our head, they don't want me back. Why do you take me back? He's right there. Come back to me with all your heart. I want you to repent from it. I want you to fast. And let's go. I'm slow to anger. In fact, I think sometimes when we do wrong, His anger is toward the devil for taking advantage of His children. You ever have a child that do wrong? That he did wrong mainly because of the association he had? Now, he's got his own, he's responsible for himself, right? But if he wasn't around certain clientele, some of the upbringing you gave him would have stuck, right? That's how God sees us. We should have known better. But we were deceived or we walked into a trap. Come on, come back to me. All your heart, come on back here. Let me be your Lord. Follow me. And he just says, the devil, I already defeated you. We get tired of seeing loved ones being used and taken advantage of. And we intervene and intercede at times to rescue them from some of the tricks some of the world has out for them. I believe God's heart the same way. He gets saddened when he sees the deception that comes our way and the lies that Satan speaks to us and we start believing it. Remember, he loves you. He wants the best for you. He wants you to recognize the enemy that's trying to separate you from him. He's hanging on to you. You have to pull your hand away from him. Understand that. You talk about a custody battle. He's like this. But you can let go. But boy, the longer you're hanging on there, he's got you. He's got you. Isaiah 58:6. Isaiah 58:6 says, "Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke?" Are you wrapped up in sin? Are you wrapped up in something? You can't get shaken free? Are you addicted to something? You've been trying and trying to break free from the addiction? And the scripture says, man, this fasting causes that to take place. God is real. And the Spirit of the Lord is real. And as a born-again Christian, I mean, Christ in us, the Holy Spirit with us. And sometimes we say, man, I tried everything. When I used to smoke, and I tried everything to quit smoking. I might go for a little while, but back to smoking again. But I tell you, it wasn't until I cried out to the Lord. Now I'm done. I hate it. It's killing me. It was 22 years ago, 23 years ago. I'm not getting out of anybody's smokes. That's fine. If you're eating bacon, that's fine also. Both of them bad for you. But my heart's desire was, man, I want to be set free. It wasn't until I cried out to him and surrendered it all to him that he reached down and gone. That quick. Praise God. I wouldn't be here today if he hadn't. He heard the cries in my heart. God can set us free. He wants to from any addiction you have in your life if you want it, if I want it. I can pick up a cigarette today and smoke it. And chances are by tonight I'd be addicted to them again. Probably. But in my mind, I fill my lungs when I was smoking that last night. And I remember that, and I don't want to go back there. I don't care how much time. And I'll smile somebody with a light of cigarette today sometimes, and it'll take me back 40 years. If you never smoked, you don't understand. But if you have smoked, a cup of coffee in the morning and a cigarette, I know it sounds stupid to you guys who don't smoke, but man, it's like, it's like baked bread in the morning. Yeah. But fasting will break the yokes that control us. Unforgiveness, I just can't pray. Fast, God, I'm going to fast today. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to find forgiveness. Interceding for other people. Praying for them. We'll see that next week where people come together and prayed for folks to be set free. How their hearts changed. There's nothing impossible. We say there's nothing impossible for God. The only thing impossible for God would be what His church doesn't allow Him to do. And if we don't understand prayer and fasting, if we don't understand how awesome it is, then we are limited, very limited on the power that we have for ourselves to be set free, totally set free, and for those around us. You know, we come through a whole year of praying and fasting for our leaders and stuff, on and off all the time. Praying for the evil to be exposed. Look at this. Amen. So I know a pastor that used to pray every week and fast for the bars in Coshocton to be closed. And look at it today. It helped out a lot, you know. So there's nothing impossible with God as His people come to Him. So what is it in your life that you've been struggling with? It may you do really well, and I'll boom. Really well, boom. We'll keep doing the boom. I mean, keep resisting the devil, put it that way. But through prayer and fasting, Jesus did it. Jesus was able to go to the cross and be nailed there. Whipped for us. And that same spirit that allowed him to do that, that same determination to do the will of the Father, lives in us. To set us free. Born again, give your life to Jesus. Amen. Some of us are still wrapped up in that barrel shod. You know, when you back in the day, like when Lazarus died, they rolled him up in a blanket. I would say put in a blanket, but they wrapped you up. Like, you ever see a mummy? Okay. Well, when Jesus said, come forth, Lazarus came back to life. He was alive. No question about it. He told his friends, okay, you got to unwrap him now. They would not have unwrapped him from the burial cloth. He would have suffocated and died again. Amen? Well, some of us, they were born again, but we've still got this bounds around us. We haven't been totally set free from things in our life. And it's bothering you. You won't be set free. Prayer and fasting will help you. Drawing closer to the Lord will help you. Resisting that desire through prayer and fasting. God, your will. Show me, Lord. God, here my whole life is again. I'm going around in circles again. I don't understand it. I need clarity. Prayer and fasting. It could be you might fast a new meal. It might be a new meal and an evening meal. I mean, there's 3-day fasting. You can fast as many days as you want. Again, as we proceed in this, we'll be teaching more because God wants us to be as powerful as an army that we can be. And don't you want more power? Do you want to be able to speak the word of God? You want your prayer life when you pray it? It's going to take place because you're praying the will of God. Yes, not my will, Lord, but your will. And when our prayer life and His will line up together, I'm telling you what, there's no stopping the body of Christ. Amen? Amen.